Hi, welcome to Cloud Cover. Today, I've got two very special guests. The first, Hashi Bai. Hashi's a technical evangelist on the same team as I'm on.
Yep.
And our guest of honor, who flew here all the way from Ireland, actually, Stephen Malone. Stephen, would you like to tell people about yourself?
My name is Stephen. I'm a PM in the Azure DNS Services team. We're based out of Dublin, Ireland. And I'm here to talk about Traffic Manager today.
Fantastic. Well, we're really excited to hear more about it, so why don't we just go right for it?
Okay. Well, Azure Traffic Manager, as you will be aware, it's for load balancing incoming traffic across multiple Azure host services to deliver performance, resilience, and availability for your applications. So a nice traffic light there as well.
That's perfect.
Nice colors. Mm-hmm. So how Traffic Manager works, it's a DNS-based traffic management system. It injects DNS into the end-to-end query resolution for end users to the Azure host services. So looking at the example on the right-hand side of the screen, we have a customer domain, like www.contosta.com, and they then redirect their www.contosta.com to a traffic managed endpoint, an Azure traffic managed endpoint, contosta.trafficmanager.net, using a CNAME record, which is in their DNS zone. And then that provides load balancing and service health monitoring, and then the trafficmanager.net domain then wraps their hosted services, which may be in one site, one region, one Azure data center, multiple Azure data centers, and then redirects the user, the end user, sitting at his desk, wherever they are, to the appropriate endpoint.
So this is going to be a really easy way for me to say, you know, if I've got tons of people using my site, I want to make sure they have high performance, so instead of just putting it all on one website or one endpoint, I can spread it across several.
Absolutely.
Depending on what I want to do.
Absolutely. And there's a number of different policies we have at the moment to enable people to do that, so they can do that in different ways. So performance policy is the most popular at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
It picks the best or the closest, based on latency, data center or endpoint that they have within their subscription to the user. So if the user's coming from North America, and Contoso has a deployment in North America, the latency is going to be really low, and then the user is going to get redirected to that endpoint. So they're going to get a very good user experience.
So geographically, I'm going to go wherever's fastest for me.
Yeah, so absolutely. So absolutely, if a user comes from North America, then the traffic will be redirected to the endpoint in North America,
sure.
And you would not see a user coming from Europe being directed to North American endpoint, unless, of course, the European endpoint for Contoso.com is down.
Okay.
Or experience availability issues. So that's performance. Another type of policy we have is round robin, and this is just iterates over each of the endpoints you have,
mm-hmm.
and gives an even load of traffic to each one. So if you had an endpoint in North America and South America in your policy, in traffic management policy, it would then send half the traffic to North America and half the traffic to South America.
Now, can you kind of combine those and say, well, I've got, you know, stuff in several data centers in the US and then something in Europe? Can I say, well, if it's European, go to Europe, but if it's North America, round robin it within the US? Is that?
Currently, no.
Okay.
However, it is something that we're looking at.
Great.
At supporting sometime soon, hopefully. But within the performance policy, for example, you could have a deployment in North America, deployment in South America,
mm-hmm.
and then similar deployments in North Europe and West Europe. And then North American users would typically hit the closest North American endpoint
to
them. But you generally wouldn't see the same user then flip-flopping between North America and South America, or mm-hmm. North US or South US. They would generally stay with the same data center.
Sure.
So, but it's a useful thing for us to look at in the future, and I think we can support that.
Cool.
And I have a question about the round robin. When we mm-hmm. do round robin the clients, will the different requests from the same session will be routed to a different server, or if a client is connected to a specific server?
We do not support sticky sessions or affinity from end user to the endpoint.
Okay.
So you could, for example, see that an individual user, when request one goes through, it gets routed to North America or US North, but request two comes in and that can get routed to US South. There's a caveat there, and the caveat is that the DNS record that you get the first time is cached. So every subsequent call they mm-hmm. have, while that record is cached, will go to the same place.
Mm-hmm.
When the cache expires, then it has to go back to the authoritative DNS resolvers, and it potentially could get a different response.
Mm-hmm.
How long is that cache going to, when would it expire?
The owner of the policy controls the TTL, the length of time for which the record will be cached,
mm-hmm.
and they can configure that in the traffic management policy. The default that we have is 300 seconds, which is 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. It can go as low as 30 seconds, or I'm not sure what your upper bound is, but it's high.
Okay.
So the consideration with the TTL is that it's a trade-off between performance and adaption to failures. So that if an endpoint goes down, then if you have a short TTL, the endpoint will get detected and taken out of rotation faster than if you have a longer TTL, because the record is in the wild for the length of the TTL, mm-hmm. beyond their servers, out of our control, on the recursive resolvers, on the client's, the end user's own machines. So we can't control that. Mm-hmm. So having a really short TTL is key for having a really rapid failover.
Okay.
There is, the trade-off is the number of queries that you'll be billed for. So that every time the cache expires, it goes back to the authoritative resolvers. That's another query, but realistically, unless you're talking about an extremely large application with a lot of users geographically dispersed, the cost is negligible.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay. The last policy endpoint we have is failover. Failover is quite simple. You would have maybe two or three deployments, and you'd have a fixed priority order in which they will be served. So that if you only have two, you'd say North America primary, US South then as secondary. And then if the US North goes offline for whatever reason, your application has problems, then it'll fail over to US South. And you can continue on that sequence by having a third site in Europe, fourth site in Asia, and then failing over in that way. You'd really only think about doing that if you needed to support that for application reasons. So if you had a legacy application and wished to port it to Azure, and you didn't want to re-engineer the whole thing, and you had like sessions and so on, some expensive state you need to build and maintain, mm-hmm. and you wanted to deliver a rich experience to your users, then you think about using a failover policy. So all the users are hitting the same endpoint, and then only if there's a failure will they fail over and have to log out and log back in again, mm-hmm. to rebuild that state.
Okay.
So this failover happens within the traffic manager. So Windows Azure is detecting which endpoint it's coming offline. My application doesn't need to do anything. Right?
Traffic manager detects it.
Yeah.
Traffic manager has inbuilt health monitoring for all of the policies and all the endpoints, so that we periodically, and we will be touching on this at the end, we periodically poll all the endpoints to make sure they're working. And if we get a 200 OK, we're good. Okay. Any other response or lack of response means that the endpoint is suspect. And if we get three such responses, then the endpoint is marked as offline. And then we fail over according to your policy. Okay. So if it's round robin, we take that one out of rotation and we round robin against the rest of the endpoints. If it's failover, we fail over all traffic to the next one in your priority list. Mm-hmm. Or if it's performance as well, we route users to the nearest endpoint, but taking the failed one out of rotation.
So. Okay. As far as the endpoints go, can I mean, websites, cloud services, VMs, is there any restriction there?
At the moment, we support PaaS hosted services and IaaS. Okay. Host services as peers. So you can have your PaaS role and your IaaS role, mm-hmm. in the same set and load balance between them. If you have one in full IaaS mode on a VM and one in PaaS role, then it'll load balance between them, no problem.
Okay.
So benefits of Traffic Manager. It's quick setup. I'm not going to go through a setup here, but it's very, very quick. Once your endpoints are there, once your deployments are done, it's a few clicks within the portal, mm-hmm. and then the DNS is set up, your endpoint's there, and then you just have to wire it up into your vanity domain, and you're all good. The performance benefits, using a performance policy, the users get routed to the closest endpoint to them, so they get a much better end-to-end experience. They're not waiting for the endpoint to be served from Europe when they're actually sitting in North America. Mm-hmm. It goes to a North American endpoint, which is great, and availability. We monitor the endpoints. We monitor to make sure that the application's working as you expect, and to make sure that the connectivity to the data center and so on is there. The health check that we have in place, as I said, is just a very simple 200 OK. But behind that, you can build your own application logic to say, well, I only want to return 200 OK if my application's actually working. Mm-hmm. So we can build an additional health check into that and then return to us when it's good.
Great. Which is great.
So for traffic management scenarios, building high performance cloud applications is the primary goal for us doing this, to enable people to have the global scale and performance that they require. It planning for disaster recovery is an integral part of all of our policies because we do endpoint monitoring and because we fail over to the next best or according to your policy type. But explicitly, then there's the failover policy, which is, well, if this one doesn't work, if this one dies, then failover. And then upgrading. Upgrading is an interesting scenario. It's a side effect, really, of, it's not an explicit policy, it's a side effect of the other policy types. But it's very interesting, and we will talk through a little bit about how this works.
Great.
So, for a typical deployment, if we're talking about having Contoso.com sharded across North America, Europe, and Asia, then the top box represents what they might have now. They might have a single data center in North America, and then all requests globally are routed to that data center. So North American, great, it's 30 milliseconds. Europe, not so good, 130 milliseconds. And then Asia Pac, 240 milliseconds. And this doesn't just apply, for example, to the website, it could apply to DNS. This is a typical on-prem or DC-hosted application, but not on Azure. So when you take this to Azure, then the typical scenario would be then they would have three different replicas. They would have three different front ends, three different targets for the end user. One in North America, one in Europe, and one in Asia Pac. And then each of these is configured within Traffic Manager as an endpoint. And because of that, then the user is routed to the closest or the best performing endpoint to their location using a traffic management performance policy. So for the North American user, not much change. Mm-hmm. They've still got great performance, they're still happy. For Europe, it goes from 130, for example, to 20 because they're no longer doing transatlantic hop. And then for Asian users, it goes from 240 plus, who knows, to 40 or so milliseconds because it's a local within their geography call as opposed to going across multiple fiber links, undersea cables, and so on.
So you're going to deliver a much better experience for your users or for just anything calling your services, really?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Great.
So in terms of disaster recovery, as I said, all of the policies have disaster recovery built in. So if, for example, in the same setup, we have North America, Europe, and Asia, and North America, the application has an issue, or there's some problem with the Azure or in that area, then that goes offline. And after a couple of requests to get to 200 OK, we say, OK, it's not working. And then we say, we take that out of rotation. And then we route the traffic according to the policy. With a performance policy, it's routed to the next best. So, for example, when we have a failure in North America, a US user will then get routed to Europe, for example, because Europe is probably the next best for their location. So they see degradation of 30 milliseconds to, for example, 120, but they're still online. Mm-hmm. They're still working. So,
When we route based on the performance, are we doing this by IP range or by the actual measurement of some kind of response time?
We route to the nearest Azure endpoint based on the location of the recursive resolver used by the end user. So when an ISP gives you a public IP for your home network or your corporate network, they will generally specify recursive resolvers to use. And they're generally within the ISP's network and geographically close to the user. So we don't see the IP from a DNS perspective. We don't see the IP of the user. Mm-hmm. We don't know the location of the user. All we see is the location of the recursive resolver they're using to do the end-to-end lookup of that query from the initial host name to the end IP address to which they're going to route the request. So the recursive resolver then is a proxy to their location, and we have a map of performance latencies mm-hmm. between all of our data centers mm-hmm. and all of the known public recursive resolvers. Mm-hmm. So then, using that information, we can figure out to which endpoint within the set are they closest based on our DC locations and based on their recursive resolver latencies.
I see.
Okay, so I mentioned before about upgrading a Windows application. This is just a quick example of how this might be useful in terms of how we use Traffic Manager to do this. So in this example, we have a contoso.trafficmanager.net, and this might be behind the scenes for www.contosta.com, and I might be representing an app or a website for this company. Here we have two hosting services, one in US North, one in East Asia, and we have traffic management in front of this. It's great. And so this all running fine. All is running fine in this current slide. There's no issues. If we wish to upgrade and we wish to use Traffic Manager to do this, we would go into the management portal and we would go into the Traffic Manager profile, and we would select whichever endpoint we wish to upgrade, and then we disable it right there in Traffic Manager portal. And we'll have a look at that in a second. Mm-hmm. And then we wait for a little bit of time. We wait for the TTLs to wind down in the wild. And then after that, there's no more traffic hitting that endpoint. Once we hit that stage, we then upgrade. We deploy again with the new bits or whatever configuration changes we wish to make to the underlying host of service. And then after that, we test it in isolation. And no users are being impacted by this. All users will have been dynamically routed to the other endpoint. And after we're happy that it's been tested, we'd add it back into the traffic management policy by enabling the endpoint. And a short time later, a minute or two, traffic will start to flow to that endpoint. All is happy. And we now have one host service on the new version and the other on the old. And after that, we just rinse and repeat. We take out the second one, we upgrade the second, we test that, and then we add that back in again.
Great. So super easy way to upgrade your application without ever impacting your users.
Yeah. No downtime. And there's no service interruption. It's pretty an easy way to do it. And this scales out. So if you had four or five hosted services across different regions, you just do the same thing.
Great.
You can potentially do multiple at the same time because the policy will route to all the rest of the ones that are reporting healthy and in rotation. So it's just like a big load balancer, really.
Great.
So, cool. So I'd like to do a demo now and just to quickly show you how Azure Traffic Manager works for the Promise profile. I have three hosted services. One, these are very simple. Sorry. All they're doing is they're displaying a website, and the website has a flag just to indicate to where I've deployed them. So okay. The first one is deployed into the US, the second is into EU, and the third is into Asia, into Southeast Asia. So switching to the management portal, I have three host services here. The first, demo one, is in North Central US, the second is in North Europe, and the third is in Asia. So if I hit these, which is the cloud of the net address, I see respectively US flag, mm-hmm. host in the US, and then EU flag, host in the EU, and then a map of Asia. That's host in Asia. In addition, I have two virtual machines. And these virtual machines, I'm using these as observers, mm-hmm. because obviously if I go to Traffic Manager using a performance profile from here, it's in the US.
Sure.
So I'm only ever going to hit the US endpoint unless US endpoint is down. Which is great, but it's not good for demo purposes.
Sure.
Because I'll never see the EU, I'll never see the other one. So these are the observer machines I have. And so I just wanted to quickly then touch upon the traffic manager profile I have.
Mm-hmm.
So looking at the configuration for this traffic manager policy, we see the name is whatever, .trafficmanager.net. Mm-hmm. The TTL is 30, which is our most aggressive, which means that we're going to fail over quickest to events, to failures, as and when they happened. But it has the trade-off that it has the highest number of DNS queries. And the performance policy, the policy we're using is performance policy, which means that with the three endpoints in the set, it's going to go to the closest one to the end user, which is useful. Port 80, and I'm just loading up the default document, the root page. So whenever that returns 200 OK, it's marked as being OK. So switching now to the ODP sessions, I want to show how this is actually going to work. So for my observer in Asia, I'm going to load up into Internet Explorer. I'm going to get the traffic management URL out of there. Thank you. And I'm going to see what happens. So my expectation would be this is going to load up the Asian endpoint. And it does.
There it does.
Great. So then switching to the US-based VM, I have this already loaded. And put in the page, and it goes to US, which is great. So this is behaving as I'd expect. Mm-hmm. And similarly, if it went to Europe, it would do the same thing. So what I'd like to demonstrate is how does this respond to failures? So I'm going to go into the US North. I'm going to turn it off. I'm going to stop the host service. I'm just going to simulate an application failure or something like that within that site, within that application. So scroll up to the virtual machine, to the host services, and find US North. This one, go into dashboard and stop.
So now that we've stopped the site, Traffic Manager, whenever the next time it pings this endpoint, it's going to say, I'm not getting my 200, it's not okay. And after a couple of retries, it's going to say, this site is down, I shouldn't use it anymore.
Correct. At the moment, it's still stopping the website. So while that's happening, I will switch to explain exactly what's going on behind the scenes.
Sure.
We're waiting for the host of service in North America to stop. And once that's done, Traffic Manager is constantly probing and will detect the failures. And once we have a number of failures, then it will respond saying that the endpoint's down and then route traffic accordingly. So right now, we're looking at, we haven't yet started this sequence because the VM is still shut, or the post service is still shutting down. But we have to wait for three consecutive no responses or bad responses from our endpoint before we take it offline. So that's try 1, 2, and 3 on the slide we see there. And then after that, Traffic Manager knows that the endpoint's offline and publishes that policy out. And then thereafter, all we're waiting for is the TTL in the wild to wind down. And this is going to take approximately 2 minutes or so for the tries to be registered, for Traffic Manager to become aware that the profile is down. And then we're talking about the TTL delay on top of that. So in our case, because we have a TTL of 30 seconds, our expectation is this is going to take around 2 minutes, 30 seconds.
Okay.
End to end.
So in the meantime, since we, you know, if I was smart, I probably would have set up alerts so that if I would know that my site went down. So my IT person, maybe I'm the IT person, I would have gotten an alert by now. So I know, hey, my site's down, I can go fix that. But in the meantime, Traffic Manager is going to kind of take care of the problem for me.
Absolutely. So typically, response times here, like if you have an aggressive TTL, like 30 seconds, the response time is going to be less than 5 minutes for failing and automatically recovered from an application issue or a deployment issue or a data center issue or network issue. Mm-hmm. And in reality, that's going to be far faster than any manual action, any escalation procedure. So while you're debugging what's going on, your application is fine and your users are not experiencing any issues. There is a caveat, and that for this period, for this 2.5 minutes or so, users who have cached records in the wild for the North American endpoint will be experiencing an issue. Mm-hmm. Because the endpoint they're being told to hit is no longer working.
And that's where that 30-second time to live comes into play.
Great. Yes, obviously if you have it longer, if you have it 5 minutes or 10 minutes or an hour, then the impact to those users who have a cached record is longer. The application on our side is the same in that we still detect failure after 3 tries, so still approximately 2 minutes to detect the failure. Mm-hmm. But then the delay is with the TTL value.
Great.
So, okay. All right. So about now, the time would have elapsed, and all three would have been recorded as failing from this North American endpoint, and the TTL should have wound down. And okay, so we're seeing the host service in North America, it stopped, and if I switch over to the traffic management section, I see that the policy is degraded, and if I click into this, I look at the endpoint, and I see that the North American endpoint stopped. So this indicates that we've gone through our 3 tries, that traffic management is now knows that the endpoint's offline and is routing traffic accordingly. And because this is a performance policy, it then routes the users within Europe and Asia to their closest, it then routes the users in North America to the closest, now that US endpoint is offline.
Right.
So I can go into Asia, for example, and I'm going to close this. I'm going to do it again to see any impact. Are they working? And no impact. Asian users are still hitting the Asian endpoint.
And still getting a great experience.
Yeah. There's no impact whatsoever to them. That was here. So if I go into the US, load this up, paste and default, and I see
we've routed to EU.
Yeah, so Now, I'm a user sitting in my machine in US, and I'm hitting an endpoint in Europe. And the performance is slightly degraded, but my experience is not impacted. I'm still online. 4 to 2 or so minutes, when the 2 or 3 minutes or so, when the failure detection was happening, then I would not have been able to resolve, and I would have had service impact. But because of low TTL, that impact was kept to a minimal, and then I'm able to continue my work, I'm able to do whatever I'm doing, but now hitting an EU endpoint, and I'm not going to notice from a performance point of view.
Yeah, and since we didn't actually go into the page, we really never noticed it as users. Mm-hmm. We never got, like, the site can't be responding.
Absolutely. So pretty good.
Appreciate you coming on. This is really great to see. It's really awesome to see how easy it is to set up Traffic Manager so that your users aren't impacted, they have the best experience possible. And, you know, as you showed it, it's quite simple to do and very powerful.
Cool. Well, thank you very much. It was my pleasure to come and show you this. And, it's a really cool piece of software.
Great. And do you have a Twitter handle for the people at home so they can, you know, check you out and, you know, tweet you their questions about Traffic Manager?
No.
No? That's okay. Well, we'll make sure they get the right place to send any questions to. As always, please follow the Cloud Cover Show and check us out on Facebook. Stephen, thanks again. Hashi, thanks again for being here. And everybody, thanks for watching.